number 8, if you would. John in chapter number 8, and find your place now in verse number 31. John 8, and beginning in verse number 31. Can and are able, would you stand with me for the reading of the Word of God this morning? John chapter 8, verse 31. We're reading through verse number 37. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you." Would you pray with us, please? Father, Father in heaven, we do pray this morning that you would help us to open your word and to see you for who you are. We continue looking at the I ams of Christ, and He said, I am the way, I am the truth. And today, if truth sets us free, it's freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. So help us as we study. Help us to learn. But also help us to apply that which we hear in your word. May it be beneficial to us as we become doers of the word. We pray that our time this morning would be well spent. I pray that you would help me to speak the things that are needful, the things that are necessary in our lives from your word. Help us to understand biblical principle and precept. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat if you would, please. This week we are celebrating in our country, we are celebrating the freedom that so many people did so much to give us. Freedom is something that we have had for so long that I think we have become accustomed to it. And we forget the value of the things that have been handed to us. And though this generation of people has been handed a free nation, if we're not careful and if we don't respect and we don't understand what's been given to us, then as we turn and hand this generation to the next and this society and this culture to the next, we're going to hand them a culture in which they are enslaved. But we celebrate this week because we're Americans, we have certain things that have been given to us. We possess as Americans rights and responsibilities. I want to encourage you something this morning as you hear the word rights. And I watched the news last night and I saw demonstrations that all across our country and people talking about the word rights. But understand this, rights and responsibilities go hand in hand. You know, I was listening to a commercial that came on a few months ago, and it was one of the beer companies telling people to drink responsibly. Now, it is your right to drink, but it must be done responsibly, I guess. The Scripture tells us not to have any part of that because of the outcomes of it. But there are rights and there are responsibilities. One of the things in our nation today that has got us in a upheaval and the right and left hands are contrary on is the immigration into our country. And let me make a statement here. I am not opposed to people coming to the United States. I'm glad that years ago a group of people came this way to the United States because I'm free for that today. If my forefathers had stayed in the country of nationality, I wouldn't have freedom today. I'll say this, there is no country like the United States of America. How many of you have ever traveled outside of the United States? Would you raise your hand? All right. Look at the people whose hands are up and go talk to them. I don't care what nation that you have been to. My wife and I went to see John as he was serving in the military. And we left here on a Sunday afternoon. Craziest thing, we flew to Atlanta and then we flew right back across Richmond. And then we flew up the coast and over, and we landed the next morning in Paris. And we scheduled a 10-hour layover in Paris. So we had flown all night. We got into Paris. It was, I think, about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And we weren't leaving out for 10 or 12 hours. And we planned it because of this is our opportunity to see Paris. They can have Paris. So we got on a bus. We left the airport and got on a bus. And it took us over into the from the airport to the city. And on the way, here's what I learned about it. That's a filthy city. As we drove down the roads and they turned wherever, getting us over to where we were trying to get to the community. I had never seen that aspect. When we were traveling throughout different places in Europe, you know what we found out? We found out that it was a different country. Listen, our country has its hang-ups, but I want to stay home. Thank you. I like our country. I like the freedom. I like the rights that I have. But with every one of my rights comes a responsibility. Another thing that we celebrate having, because we're Americans, we can assemble. We can come together in church today. I have a note in my Bible this week from Brother Fugali and the church in Mosul, Iraq. And our government in the United States has been battling for the church in Mosul, Iraq, to be able to come into existence and to meet all together in one place and hang a sign on the outside that says church. And they've received that. One of our, we talk about our missionaries in Hong Kong, a missionary that we don't support currently, Brother Gary Henley, is missionary in China, and they have home churches. And when they get together, the music as they sing, they don't say, "Everybody lift your voices and let's sing together." They sing quietly. You've heard the stories of churches in China, underground churches that are literally underground. They circle the corners and they circle the block several times to make sure no one is following them. A friend of mine, one of the graduates of Atlantic Baptist Bible College, was telling me about being in China. His church has started a ministry there. He said, "We actually climbed down in the sewer lines in the city." And he said, beneath the city, we walked through the pipe works into this one open area. And he said, "Donnie, there were 150 people gathered in the sewer for church." I sort of like our air conditioned and padded pews today, don't you? We gather, we have the right and responsibility. We have privilege. We can assemble. Listen now. You got to understand this one full out. We're free to believe in whatever God we choose. And those who gave us our freedom and fought for our freedom, they weren't fighting just for the Baptist movement. If someone comes to our country and says, "I'm going to believe in Buddha," they have the right to. "I'm going to believe in Muhammad," they have the right to. Because they have the same religious freedom that we have. So because we're Americans, we're free to believe in whatever God we choose. And because we're Americans, we have the right to speak our mind. Some of us ought not do that quite so much. But we have free speech. Because we're Americans, we have the right to carry our Bible. Brother Steve asked me to give the invocation and benediction at his swearing in the other day. And after we were all finished, I had an officer come up. He was smiling real big, put his arm around me. He said, "Thank you for the prayer, preacher." And I said, "Well, thank you." And he said, "I'm glad you ended it like you ended it." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Because both times you prayed in Jesus' name." I said, "Well, if I don't pray in Jesus' name, I'm just talking." He said, "Well, I know when you prayed in Jesus' name," he said, "I saw people go." We have the right to carry a Bible. We have the right and freedom to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. But understand this, even though we live in the freest nation in all of the world, there are a lot of Americans who are still not set free. There's a lot of Americans still bound. Did you know that it's possible for a person to enjoy all the rights that we want to say are guaranteed to us as citizens and still not be free? We're fighting for being free socially, but we're bound spiritually. Now, Jesus here in John 8 is speaking to people who thought they were free. And we read through that, and there's one part that you probably did like I did, and you probably read through it. Jesus lets them know that because they are sinners, they are enslaved. Look at verse 34. Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. What does that mean? You're shackled to it. You're obedient to it. You're chained to it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Jesus also wants his audience to know that he has the power to make them free. Look at verse 32. And then come to verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. That touches on the prodigal son story that we talked about a few weeks ago. Remember where he said, I'll come to my father and say, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as thy hired servant. A hired servant different from a slave. But a slave and a servant, neither one had permanence. A person that is bound doesn't, they're not part of that family. They can be done away with. A slave could be bartered. A slave could be sold. A servant could be released. Now notice what he says in this. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. There's nothing eternal about it. But the son abideth forever. And so as we're looking at this day and age, this generation, this culture, a slave is not a permanent part of the family. Now, notice this. He has the power to make men truly free. Speaking of Jesus Christ here. As we celebrate our freedoms in this country, I think it's wise. There'll be literally hundreds of thousands of people tomorrow. In fact, we have a group of teenagers that James and Joy are taking up to D.C. tomorrow, and they're touring around several different things with a million other people in D.C. this week. And they'll be looking at this building and that building. Here's an amazing fact. Look at all the buildings in D.C. and somewhere around the cornerstone or on the capstone of that building in the major buildings in Washington, D.C. have a reference of Scripture of God in the part of that particular working, whether it's government or not. Notice the words free indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And Jesus said, I am the truth and the truth. I shall make you free. John chapter 8, look at verse 36. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want us to notice, first of all, this morning, the source of our freedom. The source of our freedom. Jesus said the source of our spiritual freedom in verse 32 is the truth. Again, we're talking about the I ams, the truth that Jesus Christ is seen in all of those things around us. Last Sunday, I talked to you about Henry Mantonia at 14 years old, sitting on a rock just next to his favorite fishing hole as a kid. And he said, I looked at everything around me. And he said, as I looked at nature, I could not help but know there is a God. That is a biblical fact. Now, notice what David said in the scripture, in the book of Psalm 19. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. The day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. What's that saying? The Bible says we can look at what God created for us, and we can see and know that there is a God. That doesn't mean you know God. That doesn't mean you look at his creation and you're saved. It's simply by looking at all that he has created, we understand someone's controlling all of this. We continue with the verses and come into the book of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now again, let's emphasize that word truth, because Jesus said, I am the truth. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So in both of these verses, back in Psalms, it says there is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. What voice is that talking about? Being able to look at creation and say, God exists. When we come to Romans, and we're in chapter 8, about verse number 19, that which may be known of God is manifest, for God hath showed it unto them. God reveals himself to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. It amazes me how earnestly America now, and I say that I'm putting in as a whole, but a characteristic in our country is this. We're found, and I'm going to get tied up with this for a minute, so hang on. Why is America not working today? I think I have the answer. And here's the answer. We have a country that is based on and built on and founded on the principle of a living, creative, eternal God. That's the way it was founded. Now, those men with those things in mind wrote out what we call the Constitution of the United States. And that Constitution is to direct the course and the tide of our country. And what we have done is we have a generation of people who are fighting against what that Constitution says, which is based on what the Word of God says. Because godly men, I didn't say all saved men, we're going to talk about some of who those men were in a little while, but the truth in reality is the truth about Jesus Christ is seen all around us. The truth about Jesus Christ is found in the gospel that you hold in your hand today. The Bible. I'm not asking you this morning, but do in your mind as you sit there. How many Bibles do you have? And there are nations this morning. Our Sunday school class saw children in Papua New Guinea who are receiving a Bible, and they're elated. Christmas time, we give our kids here at the church, we've been for the last several years giving every year, giving them a Bible. They'll get their Christmas gift this year, and there'll be a Bible in, and they'll go, oh, a Bible. But we saw this morning on the screen children who were excited about having their own Bible. Countries that don't have that opportunity today. We know that from Scripture, the truth, Jesus Christ, is seen around us. We know that Jesus Christ is seen in the Scripture, in the gospel. For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and rose again, according to the Scripture. So the creation declares the glory of God. The gospel's message is Jesus Christ, the truth. The truth about Jesus is found on every page, not just of the gospel, but every page of the Word of God. John says it this way in John chapter 5. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. In other words, the Bible reveals me. Now, the truth about Jesus is also revealed to the sinner by the Holy Spirit. So by creation, by the gospel, by the full Word of God, and by the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit enlightens us. You won't come to God on your own. The Bible says that God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, woos or draws you. How do you come to the understanding that you're a sinner? God shows you that. And the Holy Spirit working in us. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth. Now there's that word again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. And everything we've looked at so far this morning is based on the truth. And now it's talking about the Holy Spirit coming. What kind of Spirit is he? He is the Spirit of truth. And when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll help you to see Jesus. He's not here to extol himself and honor himself and build himself. The Holy Spirit has come. His ministry is to guide us into the truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall say or whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The source of our freedom is found in Jesus Christ. Now, notice this with us, if you would, the scope. The source. And we've looked at multiple things. Now, the scope. The scope of our freedom is found in verse 36. Now, that word free. Free indeed. There are two words that are used for free here. One of them is to set at liberty. It was not an unusual thing for a person to be a slave who is enslaved to debt. Now, not like you're thinking this morning. It may be like we're thinking. In our country today, there's a tremendous number of people who are enslaved to debt. The economic turn and the sort of the fall of our economy in 2008, a lot of that, and we wanted to point fingers at political people and say it's their fault. It wasn't their fault. You know, people were buying a $100,000 house, and they were buying it for $200,000. And using the extra $100,000 that they got on the loan for whatever they so desired. And then when they lost their job, they had to sell their house, and it was still only worth $100,000. But yet, they owed $160,000 on it, so they were enslaved to. When we're looking at the thought of the scope to be set free, it was not an unusual occurrence for someone who was a slave because of indebtedness. And once they had paid their debt, they were set free. They were set at liberty. They had not been born a slave. They were not the byproduct or the child of two slaves. And so therefore, when they were born into slavery to be owned by someone else. The two forms of this are one, free, comes from the word to set at liberty. The other is this. The second word, free, refers to one, someone who is freeborn. I mentioned that two slaves, they have a child. That child becomes property of the master owner. Others over here are freely born. They are not under that slavery. This is what this freedom is speaking of. Now, the liberty that Jesus gives us is so complete that it blots out our past. It's one thing to be free. It's another thing to be free indeed, to be set free. If you're here this morning spiritually and you're on your way to heaven and you know Christ, you have been set free. There's not a person in this room or on the earth today that has been born free. We were all born and we develop into the sin nature of man, the natural part of our being. We were born to that. And every man that has ever been born became a sinner. That's what he was. That's what he is. He was bound to that. Now, the liberty that Jesus gives us completely blots out our past and makes us absolutely free. We have been delivered from some things, being free. Let's talk for a few moments about what we've been delivered from. One, thank the Lord, when we were set free, we were delivered from the wrath of God. We're delivered from the wrath of God. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I do not want to be on the receiving end of God's wrath. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that God the Father sees me as Jesus. In other words, He stands between. Remember what we said about the prodigal son the other day? We went back to Deuteronomy chapter 21 and we read the passage of Scripture that a son that does the things that he's done was supposed to be executed by the city officials. By all means, we should die in our sins. By all means, we deserve the wrath of the Heavenly Father. But we've been robed in righteousness, not ours, but Jesus. And so when God sees us, He sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we've been delivered from the wrath of God. Because we're delivered from the wrath of God, Romans 8 tells us we're delivered from the condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We're not bound to that. We're separated from the wrath of God. We're delivered from the condemnation that comes from that wrath. We have been delivered from death and hell. John chapter 5, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Now here's a reality, I'm not going to die. Now my body is. The flesh is going to fall away. It's corruptible. But my spirit, my soul, that which makes me who I am, is never going to die. That can be said of every soul that's ever born. The soul that liveth is never going to die. What happens after the flesh falls away is controlled by your choice and your belief. We have been delivered from wrath. We have been delivered from condemnation. We've been delivered from death and hell. We've been delivered from the power of sin. I'm not any longer chained to it. A very simple, silly illustration. I do not remember the dog's name. But we had a dog when we lived. Mitzi, I think. I can't remember. Insignificant anyway. We lived in Highland Springs. We didn't have a fenced-in yard at the time. So the dog had a collar. But we did have a clothesline. Now, for those of you who are under 20 years old, go home and talk to your parents or your grandparents about what a clothesline is. They'll explain it to you. That is not that white box in that room that you throw clothes in when they're wet and they come out. A little bit before that, we had a clothesline. And I got what you call a run for that dog, and I would put the clip that thing on the clothesline, and that dog could go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It gave him ample room for what he needed. But he was never satisfied with it. I remember I used to stand in there, and he'd get at one end of that clothesline, and he'd take off running. And he'd run as far as he could. He did not get the concept that this is going to hurt. He would come to the end of the line and the end of his slavery. And suddenly, that little four-legged creature, his four legs would go up in the air. And what he was chained to, what he was possessed by, what had power over him would be enacted. You'd see that dog, he'd run as fast as he could. Boom, up in the air he goes, and then he'd fall. And he always had the same dumbfounded look when he stood up, like, how did that happen? We have been delivered from that which bound us. And we've been delivered from the power of Satan. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, I think it's crucial to understand that God says Satan is our adversary. He's our enemy. And then he compares it to something that we know a little bit more about, a lion, the king of beasts. And that scripture doesn't say that the lion runneth about. Have you ever watched a lion walk? My wife and I, we've talked about it several times. One of the places that, you know, for a while we said we'd like to go because we had friends that were missionaries in Kenya, and I'd like to go to Africa like that. I saw pictures not too long ago of somebody that went to Africa, and they, Carrie Phillips was sharing, and they went on a safari ride. And a guy was sitting in the front seat of the truck, and the truck has no top on it. It's a Jeep kind of thing. And they turned the thing off, and they waited for hours, and suddenly here he came. And this lion is strutting his stuff. I think it's interesting this morning that the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. He didn't have any fear. This particular little video clip showed this lion walked right up to that truck. Somebody's going to be pushed out of that truck if I was in it. So you may not want to go with me. But that lion had no fear. We have been delivered from the power of Satan. And understand, as powerful as he is this morning, and if you're here without the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your heart, he still has that power over you. And you may enjoy life. You may be like that little dog I talked about. You may run and play within the confines, but then there'll come a time when you'll take off. And suddenly the power of Satan has you and you can go no further. There's the source of our freedom. There's the scope of our freedom. And there's the sacrifice of our freedom. Be a lot of picnics over the next several days. Passed a lady in a store yesterday. She had 100 packs of hot dog buns in her cart. One person said, "Do you like hot dogs?" She said, "No, I just like buns." The smart aleck in every crowd. There's going to be a lot of picnics. And by the way, Hanes is going to have the biggest sale they've ever had. They're going to be paying you for furniture on Wednesday if you go over there. They'll pay you to take it. I'm just kidding. Please don't hold that to me. And people will get a day off. But how much do we really think about what freedom costs? This Constitution that was written, these things that good men, even some of them, disagree on some things, said we have to work together for the common good. You realize that over 1 million soldiers have given their life for us to have a picnic this week. Over 1 million. I have stood not too long ago in the Veterans Cemetery over in Amelia. And I've been to the Veterans Cemetery in Quantico. And I know that there's one, of course, older cemetery, Veterans Cemetery near our home. There's one over on 9 Mile and Williamsburg Road. And then I buried a couple of folks out of the one in Verina. I don't think there's anything as heart-gripping as standing on the road in the Arlington Cemetery. There's one particular spot that you can stand and you can turn around in a complete circle, and as far as you can see, there are white stones. Those, they gave the ultimate sacrifice. But I want you to consider the men that wrote the Declaration of Independence. Five of the signers were captured by the British. They were charged with being traitors, and they were tortured and executed. 12 had their homes burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. 2 had their sons captured and were held as prisoners of war. 9 of the 56 died from wounds they suffered in hardship. What kind of men were these 56 men? 24 of them were lawyers and jurors. 11 of them were merchants, and 9 of them were farmers. Some of them were men of means, and some of them were men of education, and some were men of religion. And they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well the sacrifice. They signed it and they pledged this. They pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Here's what they said. Everything that we have, we're willing to give up for the freedom of a nation. Carter Braxton was a wealthy planter, a trader, and he saw his fleet of ships sunk by the British Navy. He sold his home and all of his properties, trying to be able to recover and come back in some form of business, but the debts were more than he could pay, and he died a man in poverty. In Yorktown, General Cornwallis had taken the home of Thomas Nelson. And Nelson looked to George Washington and said, "Bomb it." Destroyed, gave his home. John Hart, his wife was dying. They were in their house. They came in to take over his house. And he had to leave his dying wife on her bedside. He and his 13 children were run out of their home. It was more than a year before he was ever allowed back there. His wife had died. And many of the 13 children he could not find. All because he signed his name for us to have a picnic this week. And for us to come to church today. And for us to hold a Bible today. And these are just some of the stories of the men of the American Revolution. But our freedoms as Americans really was purchased at a high cost. And that is a, you know, we talk about freedom isn't free. We throw that little phrase out there. And I don't know that there's a person in here this morning that knows the cost of our country's freedom. And I think sometimes we as Christians, when we're looking at our spiritual freedom, we fail to see the cost. I've had folks say to me, why would a loving God, you say he's a God of love, why would a loving God ever send somebody to hell? Let me answer that question as I finish. Number one, God never sends anybody to hell. Just as God didn't say, you will be saved and you not, and you yes and you no, God did not look down and say, you are going to hell. That's why I have a real difficulty with religions and churches and faiths that preach predestination by saying this one will go to heaven and this one won't. Because in essence what it's saying is God looks at somebody and says, you're going to hell. God never said that. So a loving God doesn't send you to hell. If you go to hell after this life is over, if you die and you spend eternity in hell, it's going to be because it's your choice. You chose to believe, you chose not to believe. So back to the question. Why would a loving God send somebody? One, he doesn't send somebody. Two, there is a reality that people go to hell. God devised a plan through Jesus Christ, his Son, to redeem us. He paid the price. He paid the price. What justifies his anger? Well, you said he delivered us from the wrath of God. What justify God's wrath? To pay the price for something. And then for that price not to be respected. For that price not to be appreciated. For that price not to be understood. For that price not to be received. So this God who gives us the truth and the truth sets us free is justified in every one of his actions because he paid the price. Finish with this. Years ago, gave James a bicycle. And we didn't have a shed or anything at the time. He'd bring that bike in. He had seen me with my car. At the time, I didn't have a lot of kids, and so I kept my car very clean. After you have two kids, you quit. His bicycle every night was brought in and sat in the living room. Every night. For a while. Then it sat on the porch. Then it sat wherever he laid it down. And I've told you before, I came home one day and we had gotten some snow. It was a school day, in fact. We were out of school. I pulled down the hill, went to turn into the driveway, and I could see the form of a bicycle with about 8 inches of snow on it. I paid for that bike. Now, I think, you know, I was a big spender. I think it was $59.99. Now you know it's a long time ago. I paid for that bike. I assembled the bike. I had a vested interest in it. I walked in the house. I said, where is that bicycle? So he was thinking a minute. I said, no, you're going to go out and you're going to get it. He said, you're cruel. You're mean. You got mad. Yeah, I got mad. Yeah, I was upset. Because I had paid the price. So before you get mad at God because of some circumstance of thing in your life, understand this. He paid the price. He paid the sacrifice. He has vested interest. And therefore, his actions. I sent James out. He got his boots and stuff on. And out he goes. And he paid the price. Jesus said to the disciples at a very confused time for them, I am the way, I am the truth. And then he returns to them in a different passage, in a different place in our text. And he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if the truth set you free, you'll be free indeed. You'll be made like you had never been a slave. He will plot out all of that. Remember in our text it said, the Son shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. And that's all what he does, hinged on what we do. What do we have to do? Believe. What do we have to do after we believe? Is there anything as a Christian we should do? Yes. Respect the sacrifice. Some people this week in their celebration, whatever realm it may take, will give little to no thought to what has been provided for us. It'll be all about the barbecue. It'll be all about the day off. It'll be all about enjoyment. Or it may be all about getting something done. And the whole day will pass. And we'll never think about what 56 men did in that declaration. And gave their lives, their homes, their reputations. They signed. Well, what a sacrifice. But in a spiritual sense, what greater sacrifice has man ever known? Respect it this week. Just as a citizen of the United States, we hopefully will take time to pray and thank the Lord and rejoice for political freedom. We ought to also, as Christians, not become so accustomed to what's been provided for us that we leave it laying, but care for it the same way we did when we first got it. Would you pray with us, please? Father, would you help us this morning?